Hey, everybody. Time for a movie retrospective once again. This is the one everybody voted for again. Again, this one won by just one vote.
Yeah, this is an old classic here.
I love this movie.
This was early 90s, or was it?
89. Okay. Bitches, I didn't even have to re-watch this one for the show. I would have.
Yeah.
But I just watched it a couple weeks ago.
You saw it, yeah.
So I was like, I don't even have to, because I think I have this movie fucking memorized, because I've seen it so many times. This is the 1989 black comedy, Heathers.
I remember I used to rent this. I think I rented it two or three times on VHS back in the day when it was still kind of new. But I don't really think I saw it till like maybe 1990.
Yeah, well, that's only a year after it came out.
Yeah, I think that's when I saw it.
I'm pretty sure I saw this in the theater. I was a junior in high school when this came out, so this would have been like right in the wheelhouse and like right around the time that we were going to the movies all the time. And I was right like smack dab in the target demographic for this. Me and my friends, it's weird. I didn't even know until recently, because Heathers has like infiltrated the culture to such an extent that I was actually blown away when I was researching the movie and found out that this was actually a box office flop. It cost $3 million to make it, and it only made $1.1 million back. It didn't start to get its cult following until it came out on VHS,
yeah,
and everybody rented it and saw it and realized that that's the thing about movies like this. Dark comedy, black comedy is always a hard sell.
Yeah.
And I think that the way that they marketed it, that it looked like another teen movie, like in the John Hughes kind of vein. So when people actually saw it, they were kind of horrified. Because
I liked it, though.
I did as well. Me and my friends fucking loved this movie. We quoted it all the time.
Talking about a movie kind of like Breakfast Club or Pretty in Pink.
It's a parody of that, actually.
But it had a serial killer in it, you know? And everybody was cute in it. Everybody looked good and had good music. And it was just the setting was, you know, it was upper middle class setting, you know, white people. And it was just... That's what you watched back in those days.
Well, and
that's
like I said, the guy that wrote it, I love this, and this was another thing that I didn't know.
Yeah.
So the guy that wrote it, Daniel Waters, this was his first screenplay that he had written. He wrote it when he was 23. And
so he was in touch with what was going
he
on.
Wrote it.
Yeah.
And he was he's like, this is how pretentious and like full of myself I was when I was 23 when I wrote this. The original screenplay for this was 3 hours long. And he wanted Stanley Kubrick to direct it.
Yeah.
Which, now I kind of want to see that. Well, because he justified it by saying, well, Stanley Kubrick did his horror movie, he did his war movie, he did his, you know, he did, like, every genre. And he's like, this would have been his teen movie.
Yeah.
Well, as it happened, obviously, Stanley Kubrick did not direct this movie. Although, like I said, now I kind of want to go to that alternate universe where that happened. But one of the sequences in Heathers, like the slow motion cafeteria thing, they actually put that in there as an homage to Full Metal Jacket, because the guy that wrote this was really into Stanley Kubrick. So now, like I said, I'm really interested to know how millennials and younger react to this movie nowadays. Because to me, okay, so here, the plot of this movie... There's a high school called Westerberg High School, which, yes, was named after Paul Westerberg from The Replacements, because Winona Ryder was a big fan of theirs. And so Veronica, played by Winona Ryder, she is kind of the odd man out of this clique of mean girls called the Heathers, and their names are all Heather, Heather Duke, Heather Chandler, and Heather McNamara. They're just your standard, you know, high school bitches, you know, everyone either wants to be them or wants to, you know, but they're like terrible to everybody. They're just like these horrible cons, you know.
Look,
I mean?
You're asking about what you think millennials and Gen Z, you know, what they would think of this. I would think that they kind of like it, but they like it, I think, because it's alien. There is an 80s revival thing going on in music and style, and it's...
Well,
and like
that wasn't exactly what I meant, but well, yeah, I'll get into it.
There's been a revival in that, but the thing is that the way we grew up is very different, and I think the school situation and the scene in a high school today is probably very different from what we grew up in. But it was a pre-internet era, and a lot of, you know, you had to socialize face-to-face with people back in those days, which it caused a lot of problems. That was good, too. It was rewarding and punishing. That's just... where you learned how to deal with people, you know, for the first time as young adults in high school. So I don't know. I don't think they'd like this movie in some ways.
I was curious to see. No. So I watched like some, you know, younger film reviewers, and it was kind of 50-50. Like some of them really, really loved it, and some of them, because of the way that, and some critics when this came out, accused it of making light of suicide and murder, you know, school shootings and stuff like that. Now, when this came out, school shootings were not all that common. So that's what I'm thinking now. It's like now that they have, there have been so many of them in the ensuing years, that maybe people, you know, would see this differently or would see the movie as like making light of that. It's not, because it's a black comedy. It's parodying the John Hughes thing, and it's parodying the attitudes that adults have toward teenagers, toward teenage suicide, toward the cliques, toward everything like that. So, but it's a very vicious satire, and I feel like the only later movies that were kind of like this, it was Jawbreaker, which came out in the 90s. I can't remember what, Rose McGowan was in that. It was 96, I want to say. Maybe it was later. That was kind of a ripoff of this. Most people will mention Mean Girls from 2004, but Mean Girls is pretty tame compared to this one. So basically, you got your Heathers, your group, who also has Veronica, who's, like I said, she seems like they imply that they kind of plucked her and like made her one of the Heathers, you know what I mean? But she's still kind of like ambivalent about it because she doesn't like the cruelty they display. So she's, you know, she likes being popular, but in a way she doesn't really like it. So there is this new guy who comes to the school, Jason Dean, also known as JD, who is Christian Slater channeling Jack Nicholson, which he did on purpose, so it's not like it was an accident or anything. So he comes to the school, and basically his first action is these two jocks come over and start teasing him, or like bullying him, calling him a fag or whatever.
Because
he had good hair and a nice trench coat. And he basically stands up with a gun and shoots both of them.
Yeah, it was a cult python.
Yeah. No.
But it had blanks in it, though.
You find out later that it was blanks. And like I said, I think that this is the way this kind of plays differently nowadays. Because just the next scene, the girls are like, you know, oh, they should throw his ass in jail. He used a real gun. But then Veronica, Winona Ryder's character, says, oh, he used blanks. All he did was ruin two pairs of pants, you know, implying that the two jocks shit themselves. So the fact that he doesn't get, I mean, I don't think he got suspended or anything, like, for basically shooting two guys in the face with a blank.
It was a different culture.
But that's what I'm saying. So it's like, it doesn't really play the same nowadays as it did back then, I guess.
It's a totally different value system back then. And, you know, it was a mixed bag. In some ways, it was a better time, if you ask me. At least in my personal experience.
But like I said, I don't feel like this movie is making light of it. Yes, it's a black comedy. Yes, it's a satire. But it's not saying, it's not siding with Jason Dean. He's clearly a psychopath.
Yeah, but you know, coming up in high school, you know, in Trenton High and out in Michigan, and also Escola Graduada, São Paulo in Brazil, me growing up in those high schools, we had dudes like that. There were psychos in fucking school. But they tended to get better, or they left, or they went to jail. You had that shit.
Yeah.
You had that shit. And
have that now.
That's what I'm saying. It's a normal part of life.
Yeah.
And that was part of growing up. And we also had suicides. And you know what? To be honest, we didn't give a shit. A girl about fucking five lockers down from me killed herself. And then the day went on like nothing. The next day she killed herself?
Oh, one of the main things that this movie is poking, not necessarily poking fun of, but they're kind of like, they're kind of showing how, you know, all the adults in the school, for example, like, you know, what the plot of this movie is, if you haven't seen it, is that Veronica starts hooking up with Jason Dean because she's like, ooh, the bad boy thing. And she has a fight with Heather number one, Heather Chandler, who, like I said, they're frenemies, basically. She has a fight with her, and she basically offhand says, you know, I wish she was dead or something like that. And Jason Dean is like, can do. And so they go to her house the next day. All Veronica initially wants to do is give her something that'll make her puke, because, you know, Veronica puked at the party the night before and embarrassed, you know, Heather and like blah, blah, blah. So it's just supposed to be revenge. But Jason Dean instead switches the cups out, or doesn't say when Veronica has switched the cups. One of the cups has drain cleaner in it, and basically the girl dies. So Veronica flips out, But Jason Dean is like, well, why don't we just like forge a suicide note? So it looks like she just chugged drain cleaner and crashed through a glass coffee table. So they basically, you know, forge a suicide note. Now, the weird thing that happens after that is that everyone buys it, but Veronica points out that now Heather Chandler is more popular than she was when she was alive, because after she died, because she wrote this really nice note about, it's like, nobody knew the real me. People think your life is so easy when you're pretty and rich and everything. And so it gave Heather Chandler a soul, like, you know, posthumously. And then it almost comes a kind of thing where people start killing themselves just to be like the cool kids. So that's kind of like, as I said, that's what this is parodying. It's like a John Hughes movie, but all of the characters in it are like grotesque, like over, you know what I mean? Like, not,
well, you know what was happening. I remember I was there at the time in high school, you know, it was a few years before this came out, but society hadn't changed much in just a couple years. You had a bunch of fucking real touchy-feely fucking people in the teachers' unions that kept fucking talking about suicide and kept fucking harping on it. And most of the students laughed it off. They were just thought they were, you know, basically it was like, oh, fuck them. They're pussies. You know what I mean? We're talking about the teachers.
Yeah.
So it ended up becoming kind of like, we ridiculed our teachers in our times behind their backs a lot of times. We didn't believe.
Well, I think they still did.
We didn't believe anything that they said. We didn't accept any of their values. We didn't. We gave a shit what they believed, and we had all kinds of stuff going on. And it depends on which high school I'm talking about. In Brazil, those teachers were terrified of the students. They wouldn't get involved. They wouldn't tell them anything, because the Brazilian ones, all their parents were powerful members in the military junta, or the fucking dictatorship that just stepped down, or they were in the new democracy that was coming, and they were all gangsters. All right, so they wouldn't say shit to a student. They were servants, basically. That's what teachers were in that school. In the school outside of Detroit, it was just a bunch. We just didn't believe what they said because, you know, they were, or we didn't care what they said. It was just kind of this touchy-feely fake.
But don't, like I do said, drugs, that's don't kind of like yourself. That's, I mean, we just laughed. That's at been it. Like that like forever. Yeah. It's still like that now. It was like that back then.
They know what they were talking about. You didn't know what pot was.
That's what I mean. And that's
fuck out of here.
This
know?
Is kind of parodying that in movie too, because they have a lot of adult figures. Like, they have the one female teacher who's kind of like, she's the art teacher, who's kind of like a hippie. They call her Miss Flem. And she's kind of one of those, you know, we need to have like all this stuff about, you know, because all these teenagers are hurting and they're all killing themselves and blah, blah, blah. So she needs to have this thing. And so she's kind of the one that they all make fun of. One of my favorite, when they're having like the meeting in there, and she's like, we have to revel in this moment and we have to have a meeting and everything. And then the principal's like, call me when the shuttle lands. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, really bitchy. Yeah. So it's like, so they have that, but they also have these other kind of like mercenary sort of teachers that he's like, well, now this one that killed us, was she a cheerleader? And they're like, no, that's the other Heather. And he's like, damn, I'd be willing to go a whole day for a cheerleader, like, let the students go home. So it's like, they're just showing that all the adults don't really give a shit. It's all just about like optics.
Yeah.
So that's
a good way to put it. It was optics even back then.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. So that's kind of where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Now, as it goes on, so like I said, the Heather number one gets murdered, but it looks like a suicide. Then JD decides, after the two jocks that initially made fun of him that he kind of like pretended to shoot in the face, they do some fucked up shit, and so he decides he's going to kill them as well. He gets Veronica in on it by basically saying, and I love this, he says, he's loading the gun, and she's like, no, we're not going to do this, like, we're not going to kill it, you know, my Bonnie and Clyde days are over, she says. And he says, do you take German? And she said, no, French. And he says, these are Ichluga bullets. Ichluga means I'm lying. So, but she didn't know that. So he's like, yeah, they just, they're like tranquilizers. They just pierce the skin and makes it looks like, you know, it just knocks them out. It doesn't really kill them. But of course, that wasn't what they did. So basically what they did with the two football players, Kurt and Ram, was that because they were so homophobic, because they were so, everyone's a fag, like that, they decided after they killed them that they were going to make it look like they killed themselves because it was like a repressed homosexual pact. So yeah. It's like he left like this.
It made sense to the cops.
This bag there.
Yeah.
I love that scene. I have to say, I love that scene where the cops like find the two dead guys like in their underwear.
Yeah.
And they're like in the bag. There's like an issue of Stud Puppy in there.
Yeah.
And then like Christian Slater, like when he's saying all the stuff that he got, he's like, "Here's the one perfecto thing I picked up." Mineral water. And like Winona Ryder's like, "What are you talking about?" It's like, you know, Winona, a lot of people drink mineral water. And he's "Yeah, but this is Ohio. If you don't have a brewski in your hand, you might as well be wearing a dress."
Yeah.
So, and that's exactly what the cops think is like, "Oh, they
mineral
shot,
water.
They were fags. They shot each other." You know what I mean? Yeah. And then there's that great fucking scene at the funeral where like the two jocks that like are in the coffins and they have their football helmets on and the footballs and then the dad's crying. He's like, "I love my dead gay son." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just, it's terrible, but it's like fucking hilarious. I mean, the movie, like I said, you have to understand this is a satire. So it's like, there's going to be some like fucked up shit in it.
I remember watching it, you know, fresh out of high school, but really when you look at the big picture, I was fresh out of high school in 1990.
Yeah, but I was still in high school and I graduated. Yeah,
I've been out a couple years, but it still felt like you were in high school, even though you weren't in it anymore. But anyway, you still thought that way a little bit. I just the whole thing resonated with me. Like those scenes,
me too.
I was like, "Oh yeah, oh
me God. Too."
You know, it was a different era.
I mean,
nowadays people might get offended, but no, that was the way reality was.
I said, it's a satire. It's over the top, deliberately so.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's almost a grotesque like parody of like high school.
Yeah, but
like
your reaction to it,
but.
Was,
yeah, because everybody can relate, especially people that have been picked on, you know, because I didn't particularly like jocks or anything like that in school either. Mm. So you could see getting sucked into this kind of thing, like with JD and like killing these people and being like, "Oh, it's worth it." But at heart, I mean, Veronica eventually like realizes, "Hey, this dude's a psychopath," and it's like, "I have to like, you know, break this up. I have to stop him." So it's almost saying that even though JD's character is supposedly, you know, all these cliques and they're, you know, he's basically like saying that's evil and I'm going to fix it, but he's just as bad, if not worse, than they are because he's actually killing people, you know, and saying that he's like an edgelord, basically. He's a very early, like, edgelord prototype. But you can see how, like, his character is very alluring at the beginning because he's taken out the people that you want taken out because that you feel like they deserve it. But like I said, in the end, it seems like he's, like, worse than they are. Because he, at the end, basically, you know, spoiler alert, he wants to blow up the whole school. Yeah. He, like, puts bombs
in the school. It's like something out of Columbine. But
you know,
he's got a high level of charisma, and charisma can get you through a lot for a long time before people realize, wait, this motherfucker's dangerous, you know?
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what this movie is talking about, and just,
you know,
in a funny way.
If you go back and watch those two fucking Columbine kids, if you know the whole story, yeah, they were fucked up, but they had a lot of charisma themselves, too.
They were,
you know, they felt they were being, it was vengeance, you know, they thought they were being mistreated.
And that's,
and they wanted to kill everybody. That's a fucking way over the top reaction to it. But they're kids, man. They don't fucking know. They don't understand.
Yeah.
The gravity of what they're doing. And then by the time they're doing it, it's too late.
Yeah.
They can't back out.
Well, and like I said, that's kind of essentially what,
yeah.
I mean, I think JD's character in this movie is like a more charismatic version of one of the Columbine shooters, just because he justified it by saying, you know, they're all this power hierarchy in this school and like they're all snotty and they're cruel to everybody, so they deserve it.
Yeah.
And then we can kill them and make it look like suicides and we'll get away with it.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, for a time, it's almost kind of like you want them to be him to be the hero, but he's not.
He's not
actually.
Really.
He's not.
Know, but there's something true about the movie.
Yeah.
Is that these guys that do this, they're not, a lot of times at that age, they're not monstrous. They're just regular people. Like the Columbine guys, had they made it out of high school without doing that mass shooting, eventually they just would have been normal people. It just happened to be they drove each other. It was a synergy. They drove each other to do it, and then it's too late by the time you start doing it.
Well, yeah, because the thing about teenage guys is that they don't.
There's this hormonally.
And they don't really mature until they're like much older. And then, but like if they did something fucked up when they were teenagers,
it's too late.
Then you can't fix it.
It was almost kind of like a natural disaster where Was it a dick move? Yeah, it was a dick move.
Big
Very
time.
Much a dick move.
That was the understatement of the century.
But they're crazy.
Yeah.
They're under the influence of all these fucking hormones and fucking it's a bad environment or it's people fucking with them, and that's how they exploded into that shit. And they talked each other into it. It took them a long time to do it.
Yeah.
They talked each other into that.
Yeah.
And it was basically a suicide pact, kamikaze suicide pact. But like I said, had they made it out of high school, within a year or so, they'd have spent normal people.
They would have just probably grown out of it.
Yeah. They'd have been up at the club hanging out.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically, so the end of this movie, like I said, Veronica realizes that she has to stop him from doing what he's doing. She fakes her own suicide to keep him from killing her. And then basically she goes and she finds out like about this plot. He's going to blow up the whole school like during a pep rally. He's planting all these bombs like underneath because his dad's a psychopath too. And his dad like goes and blows up buildings, except he does it legally. So Veronica basically goes to the school and is able to stop him, and she saves the entire school. I have to say, and I'll get into this in a minute, but there were a couple of alternate endings, which I kind of wish I could have seen. But I do like the way this ends, where she stops him from blowing up the school, but then he essentially straps the bomb onto himself and comes out into the yard, and he's going to blow himself up. And all she does is just look at him like, yeah, whatever. And she takes out a cigarette and puts it in her mouth. Now, this is a reference back to a time where after she has discovered that they've actually killed Kurt and Ram, the two football players, she, as punishment, she takes the car lighter out and she burns herself. She's like self-harming. And Christian Slater, JD, like just takes her hand and lights his cigarette with it, like to kind of show his callousness or whatever, that she feels bad about it. So she's showing, hey, you know, you're going to blow yourself up and I'm just going to see her and light my cigarette off it. So how do you like it? So I kind of like that ending. Now, originally, though, there were two different alternate endings for this. In one of the endings, the ending that was actually supposed to be in the movie was that JD was actually going to succeed in blowing up the school and everyone was going to die. And then they were all, and then there was going to be a final scene of all of the students in heaven, and they were finally all getting along. Like, all the different cliques were getting along, but they were all dead. The other alternate ending was Martha Dunstock, known as Martha Dump Truck in the movie, like the very large obese woman. She was actually going to stab Veronica to death, and she was going to stab her. And then she was going to call her Heather. And I think the last line of the movie was Veronica saying, "My name's not Heather, you bitch." So I like both of those endings, but actually I really like the way they ended it, where she saved everybody, but also like JD blew himself up. Now, as I said, this movie, when it came out, I was a junior in high school. Me and my friends fucking adored it. We didn't really realize that it didn't do that well at the box office. Like I said, it's not that unusual for black comedies. They're a very hard sell. A lot of people don't like them. But over the years, like, you know, on the rental, it like really ended up making a lot of money. And then it seeped so much into the public consciousness that the slang that's in it, which was mostly made up because the guy that wrote the screenplay was like, well, I don't want to put, you know, current slang in it because it'll date the movie. So I basically want to make up my own, you know, my own way that they talk. So then that way it can't be like placed in a certain time period. So, you know, stuff like saying, oh, it's so very, you know, fuck me gently with a chainsaw, like all the kind of stuff that they said was basically like, you know, made up, or he just took it from like people that he knew. And I've read somewhere, maybe it was on the Wikipedia page, that this movie is so quotable and all the shit that was in it like seeped so much into the public vernacular that this is actually one of the most cited films in the Oxford English Dictionary just because it added like so many words and phrases like to slang. Weird. Which like that fucking kills me.
I think it's an important movie just because it's like a snapshot in time of the thinking of the very late 80s. Very late 80s, early 90s. That was kind of the gestalt of the time. You know what I mean? At least from the point of view of a teenager or a person in their early 20s. It's a good peer. It's a good look into the psychology of the time, I think.
And honestly, I just watched it a couple weeks ago, and it's still funny as hell to me.
It's funny.
I mean, like I said, it is probably the darkest high school satire I've ever seen. The only other one that comes close is maybe Election with Reese Witherspoon, I think was in it. Yeah. That was pretty dark too. But this one's pretty dark. Like I said, it's a like fucking murder, suicide, like all kind of shit they made for the bulimia. There's like all kind of shit in it they're making fun of.
I don't think there'll ever be a movie like this made again. It's a high quality movie. It's shot very well. It's got really good music in it. But it's so offbeat. You know what I mean? You're never going to have topics like this and scenes like this merged with this type of high quality. I don't think they'll do it again.
I mean, they made... Okay, there was an off-Broadway version of this that came out in 2010 and ran for several years, which I've heard was actually very good. And there was actually a song in it called I Love My Dead Gay Son, which I thought was hilarious. They also did a series based on it. Starting in 2014, 2016, I want to say. I'm not sure if it's still on. It was kind of controversial when it came out. It was like delayed because like, it was the Parkland shooting or Stoneman Douglas or something like that. When that shooting, they had kind of had to delay it because they were like, oh, it's like sensitive material or whatever. But I think it did subsequently come out. I've heard mixed reviews of it. Some people really like it. Some people didn't like it. The writer actually said he thought it was a little weird for the first four episodes, but then it got like a lot better. So, like I said, this is still pretty culturally relevant. I found out a bunch of, like, cool fucking shit about this. So, Winona Ryder, who, for some reason, I thought she was older than high school age when I saw this movie.
No,
but she's not. She's 16.
Yeah, she's a kid, yeah.
She was 15 or 16 when she made this movie.
Cute as a bug, too.
She wanted this role so bad. And so, she basically went to the writers like, please, please, please let me be in this movie. And originally, they didn't want her to be the lead because they thought she, quote-unquote, wasn't pretty enough.
Crazy.
Well, because I guess they wanted, like, the Heathers, they wanted them to look like all... Because all the other ones were kind of blonde, or Shannon Doherty was in it, and she was kind of redheaded. They were all just these beautiful, wealthy kind of...
There's probably more to it than that.
Well, she said, I looked like a like gothy, and you know what I mean? Because Beetlejuice came out, like, right around the same time or the year before.
Yeah.
And so she went and got a makeover, and then they finally gave it to her, and she said... She said they wanted Jennifer Connelly, actually, is who they wanted. Or Justine Bateman. Those were the two that were in the running.
Wouldn't have been the same movie.
I don't think it would have been the same. And I think that the writer and the director, like, after it came out, they were just like, Winona brought something to it that was just, like, one of those happy accents. Like, we didn't want her initially, but then when she was in it. And Winona Ryder said that when she was, like, she was begging to be in this movie, her agent said... She said, my agent got down on her knees and said, please do not do this movie. You will never work again.
Bullshit.
And that's, that's not how it turned out.
Right.
But it's funny how many actresses turned down this movie for various reasons. Because I think one of the, Heather Chandler, Heather number one, the part of that, they originally wanted that to go to Heather Graham. But Heather Graham was only 17 at the time. And her parents would not let her be in it because they read the script and they're just like, oh no, she is not doing that. And the weird thing is that Heather Graham, a few years later, played a porn star in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
She was Roller Girl. And it's like, but her parents were still like under, because she was a minor.
Right.
And the funny thing too is that Shannon Doherty is in this, and this was pre-90210. I think it was like a year or two before. But Shannon Doherty had been working in TV since she was a little kid. So she was like kind of a pro. Now, she would not say any swear words in this. Like, cause some of the lines in this, like, fuck me gently with a chainsaw, she was supposed to say that, but she wouldn't say it, so they had to give it to another character. And the funny thing about this is what how the story goes, is that she didn't actually know that this was a black comedy until she watched it afterward, and she was really upset. She thought it was a drama. But the director thought that was really funny because they're like, we liked that she played it straight the whole time. Like, you know, she wasn't trying to be funny. She wasn't trying to be in a comedy. So she played it like in a very straight way. And we think it came out like a lot better. But apparently, I think she's over it now. But she kind of, you know, she didn't know that
it's
that's
a weird
the kind
movie.
Of movie that
I liked
she was
it.
In.
I don't think there'll ever be another movie really kind of like this in terms of like, with like I said, with the quality. You probably would see something that was... Like an indie film would be like this, but this doesn't have an indie film feel at all. It feels like
it's like a John Hughes movie, except a much more fucked up, surreal version.
For me, it was just like a mainstream American movie.
Yeah,
and but it was a highly subversive, and it was subversive then, probably even more subversive now. I mean, it's not PC. No.
Well, and like I said, I think the closest movie to it more recently was Mean Girls, and Mean Girls is pretty tame compared to this one.
Yeah.
But as I said, they did do like an off-Broadway play. They did do a series based on this that was, you know, that had a lot of the same shit in it. So it's like they do kind of have a thing.
It kind of had some action at the end too, with the whole bomb thing and everything. You know, it's not just like a teen comedy. It is, but it isn't. It's weird.
But yeah, like I said, it's one of the most vicious satires I've ever seen, and it also has like some surrealism in it too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I think is kind of cool. Now, one like sad thing, the woman that played Heather Chandler, Heather number one, Kim Walker. Now, she was actually dating Christian Slater at the time that they were filming this movie, although they broke up later. Do you want to hear something fucked up? I don't know if you guys know this or not, but you know how she has the line in the movie where she asks Heather Duke, Shannon Doherty's character, did you have a brain tumor for breakfast? Well, guess what? Kim Walker died of a brain tumor when she was 32 years old. Damn. Isn't that fucked up? And it's like, I don't know, that just like creeped me out for some reason. Yeah. I didn't even realize that she was dead.
Hmm.
And she, you know... That, I don't know. That's Well, it's weird because
we know one that died of a brain tumor about that age.
My uncle died of a brain tumor at that age. Isn't that strange?
What was that
when
girl?
He was 32.
What was her name? Jennifer? What was the one that
we
knew from the club? Jenny. Yeah. That was her name.
No, she was 29.
She was 29.
28, 29.
Yeah, she was healthy and talking and hanging out with us. And then like a couple weeks later, she died.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It's really freaky.
Yeah, weird.
That's, really sad.
And evidently they knew about it. They knew that was in there.
Yeah.
They didn't take it out for some reason.
Well, maybe they couldn't.
Maybe they couldn't, yeah.
Because some of them are, like, so deep in there that it's like, you know, there's no way to get it out. Because, like I said, that's what happened to my uncle as well.
Right.
Like, they just couldn't get to it. But, yeah, it's like, if you like teen comedies, but with, this like, with an edge, and probably the biggest edge of any teen comedy, like I said, Election comes close, but it's not quite as vicious as this one, but I think that's what made it like really, really funny to me. Like, I love this movie. I could watch it every day for the rest of my life and never get bored of it. I could. It's one of those movies where, and like I said, I think I have it memorized at this point, like all the fucking lines in it and everything, because I've seen it so many times. But it's a fucking classic. And if you haven't seen it, you definitely, definitely should. And if you're younger, I'd be curious, like, what you think about it if you've seen it, or if you go watch it, and then it's on Shudder now, I think, and it might be some other places too. But yeah, go check it out and tell me what you think. And we'll see you on the next one. Bye.